Well, listen as I read from Luke 2. Luke 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Branching out from the story of Jesus' birth, there are countless other stories that get attached, even just vaguely. Stories that we often return to at this time of year, like the classic story of an embittered, wizened old man who encounters the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And how Ebenezer Scrooge is transformed into a man spilling over with life and joy, so very grateful for this new day that has dawned. Or George Bailey in Bedford Falls and the nasty rich man named Mr. Potter and the tottering old angel Clarence. In this old black and white movie, which a lot of us know, instead of George Bailey's life totally collapsing, people rally around him and his love for people and for life changes and there's this sweet, happy ending. And there's the Nutcracker and Home Alone, and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and so many others. There are countless movies, stories, books, and songs, many of them having zero connection at all to the birth of Jesus. But they become part of the fabric of Christmas for a lot of us. Now, obviously, we're not here tonight to talk about old movies and books and stories and songs that are loosely tied to Christmas. I'm only mentioning it because it seems that the appeal of so many of these, why we repeatedly watch and read and listen to them, is because of hope. Because of hope. Hope in the darkness. Hope when everything goes bust. Hope when it seems like there's no hope at all. And hope is why we're here tonight. Hope in Jesus Christ. In a lot of these other stories, the setting the stage for it is a lack of hope. Think of Ebenezer Scrooge in his bitterly squandered life, or George Bailey, where all of his hopes are being dashed, and then suddenly there's a turnaround, and things gradually change. Light breaks into darkness, fresh air comes into a suffocated place, hope arrives in unexpected ways, and things change. We're drawn to stories like this, stories of hope. Not just the sweet, sentimental, happy endings where everyone is smiling and hugging and all's well with the world. As nice as those are, more often than not, that is not the way real life goes. Not in this world with so many wounds and splinters. But real hope in real life really does come. And we need pointers toward hope. We hunger for hope. We need hope like we need to breathe. Lewis Smeads, who was a psychologist, he put it this way. Hope is bred into our bones. Our spirits were made for hope, the way our hearts were made to love, the way our brains are made to think, the way our hands are made to make things. Our hearts are drawn to hope as an eagle is drawn to the sky. And the hope that we need, it's not just wishfulness and optimism. It's not just an attitude of hoping, hoping, hoping that everything's going to turn out all right. Optimism, hopefulness, and a good attitude are important because we know how dispiriting and discouraging it can be to be around grim, pessimistic people who point out all the dark clouds and who roll their eyes at hope. But the hope we need most, real and true hope, is what God sent Jesus to bring to the world. It's what Jesus taught and lived and brought to people. Hope rose in dawn like those who encountered him, like the shepherds we just heard about, or like the angels breaking into song in the sky, or like the old prophet Simeon. When Jesus was only 8 days old, Simeon took him into his arms and said, "Sovereign Lord, you may now let me go in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation in this child, a light for revelation for everyone, a sign of your glory here." That glory, that light of revelation, that peace, is the hope Jesus brings. In the Gospels, life after life after life was changed by encountering Jesus. From him came healing and forgiveness. Life became fresh, released into new life and full life. And of course, these changes, these life changes, didn't end with his death, resurrection, and ascension. It continues to happen now, today. I want to tell you something about something my brother shared with me last week. He's a retired pastor, now works as a part-time jail chaplain. He loves going into the jail, and he often meets with people whose lives have been upended, and he brings the hope of Jesus to them. Sometimes he just brings them the gift of being heard. Many have had the hope just crushed out of them, and they are so hungry for any thread of hope. So Don told me about meeting a man last week who's serving a life sentence with no hope at all of release, none, and he's fairly young. I can't imagine having my entire future ahead of me behind bars. It would be so despairing. But Don told me that this man is so full of joy. He's overflowing with gratitude because it was in prison that he met Jesus and his life became brand new. He's full of hope. Gratitude spills out to him, even though his whole future is to be in prison. There's no way to explain this other than this is what Jesus brings. It's the true hope he gives. It's like the light of hope that Zechariah is saying about in Luke 1. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and guide our feet onto the path of peace. There's a song that's played a lot during these days leading up to Christmas. It begins this way. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. A lot of us know those words. Partway through verse 1, there are these words. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. This is what this is about. That's what Jesus brings, a thrill of hope into this weary world, light breaking in like dawn. Because there is a weariness that we know, isn't there? A weariness in the world, weariness in our lives, we can name things. COVID-19 and all the grief and pain and restrictions that it's brought. It's wearying and disheartening. And then add to this so much else that's in the daily news and in our lives. And there's a lot of loss. Some of it's what's called ambiguous loss, where it's a lot of smaller loss that pile up into a huge pile of loss. And it's hard to name exactly what it is. And There's a deep longing in us to have things change, right? To go back to some kind of normalcy. But more than that, I'd say that there's an even greater longing in us to have things set right. Set really right. No more COVID deaths. No more suffering. No more injustices. No more wrongs done and people being hurt. No more painful division among us. We long for that, don't we? For things to be set right. And that deepest setting right is when there's a rightness between us and God. Rightness that carries hope. The hope of knowing that we are not alone, ever. The hope of knowing that what's broken will one day be redeemed. That what's empty will be filled. That in the darkness there does shine a light that doesn't go out. And that there is more of life yet to come through Jesus Christ than we know so far. And that's hope. And by God's grace, we can live into that hope. It's the hope that the author of the book of Hebrews wrote about when he wrote, "We have this anchor, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure." That anchor, that hope, that life-breaking is Jesus, because hope is who he is. So I'll close with this. It's by a pastor named Kate Hetch. She wrote about how hope can sometimes be hard to grasp. It can kind of slip through us or slip away from us. But she writes, "I know what love looks like. And maybe by recognizing love, by celebrating that love, by seeking out opportunities to love, then hope will follow. Hope has to follow." And then she quoted Julian of Norwich from the 15th century, who wrote, "Love keeps us in faith and in hope. And faith and hope lead us in love. And in the end, all shall be love." So we find in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son." Love all intertwined with hope. So on this Christmas Eve, and in every day ahead, I pray that you will know the light and life of Jesus Christ. And the healing he offers. The forgiveness that comes as a release into full life, a new life. To know the deep love he gives to all who receive him. May you know this hope and love. Hope and love took form in the human body of this baby in Bethlehem named Jesus. May these words of blessing from the Apostle Paul rest upon you and be in you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, gathered as we are on this holy night, we pray for your blessing upon us and upon those we love. May this night and all of our days ahead be marked by a growing awareness that you are with us, that you do love us, and that you have more in store for us than we know right now. We pray for your blessing upon this world that is so worn by weariness and even weariness. As we celebrate Christmas now for the second time in this pandemic, Lord, we pray that the virus and all of its variants will be slowed and stopped, the spread to diminish, for no more death or suffering from it, no more separations from those we love. We pray for your life-giving, hope-giving help. Help us to know that our surest hope, our safest harbor, our firmest place to stand is with you. To know that you really are shining in the darkness, that you really do bring out the beauty of forgiveness and new life. You bring this to us. And that you really are the hope of the world. We pray for those who are alone and lonely, for those who are running thin on hope, for all who carry a mantle of heavy grief and loss. We pray for people who are not safe but are at risk, for people holding deep pain in their bodies and minds and memories, and for everyone who wonders if love is really real. Lord, blanket them with love, with your presence, with your protection, as we pray you'll do with each one of us. And fill us with your peace, we pray. Peace that encircles our hearts and minds, our feelings, our thinking, our remembering and our anticipating in ways that are beyond explaining. We praise you, our Prince of Peace, the anchor of our souls, our Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. Praying all of this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.